Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage and Rocket Companies. Last year, we saw historically low mortgage interest rates. What you may not know is that interest rates are already starting to increase, and it's likely that trend is only going to continue. Our team of experts is standing by to help you save before rates go up. Don't look back and wish that you had taken action. Call 833-8-ROCKET or visit rocketmortgage.com.
Rocket.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states and MLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
This is what matters most, and I'm Matt Popovitz. Look, life is crazier than ever, and lots of people, maybe even you, are feeling anxious and overwhelmed. Today's message is designed to help you figure out what's most important and to experience the peace and joy that God intends for you. Because life is a gift, and it shouldn't be wasted on worry. I'd like to give you a resource, something to help you navigate the road ahead. Just go to mattpopovitz.com, click on the icon, and we'll send it to you. That's mattpopovitz.com. And hey, if you happen to live in the Houston area, I'd love to see you on a Sunday morning at St. Mark in Spring Branch. Head to stmarkhouston.org to plan your visit. Here's today's message. Thanks for listening.
Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, kind of on behalf of all mankind, have pushed away from God. And now God, in response, is saying, okay, well, here's what life is like without me in your life. Here's what life is like without me as king and you as your own king. Things are going to get tough. And he begins to outline for them the implications of a life in rebellion against God. And he says there's direct implications to two things, love and work. If you've ever wondered why relationships are so difficult, even with people you really, really love, this tells you why. If you've ever wondered why work can be such a pain, even if you're in the job of your dreams, this tells you why. So this is God speaking to Adam on our behalf. Listen to what he says. He says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life." So you're going to work and you will provide for yourself. "Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." So before it was just work and eat bread. Now it's by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. "Till you return to the ground." Death is now a part of the picture. "For out of it you were taken." Here's the key idea here. God says work is still going to be a great blessing to you. It's going to give you food, right? It's going to provide for you. But now it's also going to be an immense burden for you. There's going to be thorns. In this world, the work that you do will bring you both food and thorns. No matter if you're in the job of your dreams or a job that you hate, there will be food, it'll bless you, and thorns, things that will hurt you. And that's just the nature of labor in a broken world. For example, this is why a company can work for years to bring a project to market, and it can put its top people on the team developing this project. They can do everything right. They can do everything that every business school in the world can tell them to do to develop this product and bring it to market, and then the market rejects it, and all the work goes down the drain. This is why a star athlete will make millions of dollars and become a celebrity through their work on a playing field. But that same playing field will leave them with traumatic brain injury. Food and thorns. This is why a brilliant CEO will start an entire industry, not just a business, but then be ousted by his board because he's difficult. Food and thorns. This is why, despite clearly superior skills in the workplace, you will miss out on a promotion because of nepotism. The boss wanted to hire his cousin. Food and thorns. A few weeks ago, I was having a conversation with a man who's worked on the railroad for 35 years. Has loved the work that he's done, has been successful in providing for his family in the work that he's done. It's been tough work, but he's been fruitful in that work. Yet he looked at me and said, "I think I'm going to have to retire." And I said, "Why?" "I'm going to have to retire early because it's killing my body. I work on the railroad, and it means I work in the hottest of summers and the coldest of winters. I'm walking outside. I've gotten frostbite so many times now that I can barely put on my boots." And so you see the irony here. This job has been fruitful for him, but the job has also broken his body and taken a toll on him. Food and thorns. That's work in the broken world. So now, because of our pushing back against God, the result is in this world that work, even when it bears fruit, will be painful. That work, even when it blesses me, will harm me. Work, even when it's good for me, sometimes could even kill me. Food and thorns. What are some of the thorns that you deal with in the work that you do? And this is not just, again, not just the work you do for a living in order to get a paycheck, but this is work in terms of all vocations. Parenting has food and thorns. Marriage has food and thorns. Being a citizen of this city has food and thorns. Every job you can have has both blessing and burden. And so what I want us to do is just be prepared for that. Because what people of faith have in their favor is that we are called to understand this in advance. And to not be surprised by it. Because God has told us this is the reality of the world that we work in and we live in. And so what I want to offer to you are some of the big thorns that we will face. Just so you can be ready. Not that I'm going to surprise you here, but some of the big thorns that we face and what Christ says to us in the midst of those, right? So I'm going to paint in some broad strokes here, but I think these are the two big buckets that the rough roads of work will fall into, that the thorns of work will fall into. And the first is this. In your work, you will experience moments or, in fact, entire seasons where the work that you do will seem fruitless and pointless. You will have entire seasons and a handful of moments at least where the work that you do will seem fruitless and pointless. This is where the book of Ecclesiastes comes in. The book of Ecclesiastes is deep in the Old Testament. It was written thousands of years ago, and it's also known as the most depressing book in the Christian scriptures. It's meant to illustrate the implications of life in a broken world apart from the truth of God. So there's no hope in this book because it's meant to illustrate the fact that life is broken, but there's no one up here fixing it, right? And so it tries to illustrate that reality for people so that we will be thankful for the work of God. And he does a really great job of getting you really depressed if you read the book of Ecclesiastes. So listen to what he says. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he's talking about work and how you labor and toil under the sun. And then he says this, "So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me. It harmed me. For all is vanity. It's a vain effort. I'm really just trying to serve myself and please myself. And it's a striving after the wind. It's an attempt to grab after the wind. In other words, it never really fulfills. It never really satisfies. So I work for my whole life. It ends up taking a toll on my body. It's rough on me. It's rough on others. I'm ultimately doing it for a lot of selfish reasons. And I never really accomplish any of the things I want to." He says, work is so hard. And in the end, what do we have to show for it? He goes on to say, when I die, somebody else is going to get all my stuff. So I work so hard paying off this house. I work so hard stacking up these treasures. And in the end, people are going to look at it and say, oh, so do you want that? You want that? You want that? They're going to sort it between themselves. Elsewhere, he says, I have a list in my life of things I want to accomplish. And no matter how successful I get, there's still going to be more things on that list. So where's the fruit anyway? I told you it was depressing. But there's truth there. Let me tell you some things you already know. You will always dream more than you do. Always. You'll always dream more things than you can accomplish. You want to know why? Because it is impossible to do it all. That's like me at a Chinese buffet. I dream more than I do. And I do a lot at a buffet. Listen to me. You will always get less respect than you deserve. Always. You want to know why? Because you can't control what others think. You can't. You will have great skills, but you will not be able to grab hold of every opportunity. It's not possible. You want to know why? Because you can't control the future. You can't. You will have great plans laid out, and then some problem will emerge that you have to attend to. You will have some great path open before you in your career, and then something will happen with your kids that'll pull you away from it, or your parents will fall ill and it'll pull you away from it. And you have to attend to this and say goodbye to this, because you can't be in two places at one time. You will continually, in your work especially, you will come face to face with your limitations. You know who sees this a lot, who understands this the best? Young mothers understand this the best. You talk to a young mom who's trying to work, and she's got kids, and she's got this husband also, and she's just realizing there is only so much of me, and I'm just gonna disappoint everybody. So everybody, just go ahead and be mad now. You cry, husband. You whine, children, and you get over it, boss. Because I am limited. And there will be moments in your work, if you haven't had them already, where you'll ask yourself, is all of this worth it? Am I, despite whatever success I've had, am I failing? There will be moments where you hit seasons of fruitlessness and pointlessness.
I hope you're enjoying today's message. For more of what matters most, you can head to mattpopovitz.com. There you'll find other messages. You can support this ministry as well as access your free gift. Oh, and if you're looking for a local church and you live in Houston, come and see what's happening at St. Mark Houston. To plan your visit, head to stmarkhouston.org. Thanks for listening, and back to today's message.
Where are you feeling the thorns of your limitations right now? Maybe you're just incredibly tired. That hit home. What is it for you? So that's one big category. The other big category is this. Here's how thorns come. There will be moments and seasons where the work that you do will become purely selfish and idolatrous. There will be moments and seasons where the work that you do, whatever it is, will become purely selfish and idolatrous. Again, our friend in Ecclesiastes says this. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 4 says, I saw that all toil and all skill in work comes from a man's envy of his neighbor. Let me read that again. I saw that all toil and all skill in work comes from a man's envy of his neighbor. He's being honest here. He's saying, so much of what I do in my work is driven by my desire to compare myself to others. This is also vanity and a striving after the wind. Here's how you know that your work has become selfish. You are doing your work not to bless others, but because you crave the esteem, the feedback of others. You are doing your work not to bless somebody else, but because you want them to bless you back by saying, man, you are so good at this. I am so thankful for you. You are the best secretary the world has ever seen. That's driving what you do. You know your work has become selfish when the primary goal in your work, primary goal, I'm not saying these are bad goals, but your primary goal becomes getting paid or getting ahead. Or your primary goal becomes getting paid so you can get away. Living for the weekend. That's when your work has become selfish. You know your work has become idolatrous. What we mean by idolatrous is your work has become a functional god for you. It's become a functional savior for you. When the pursuit of success in your work begins to shape your values in everyday life. So here's the way it should be. Here's the person God has called me to be, so here's how I'll do my work. That's the right order. Here's the person God has called me to be, so now here's how I do my work. When it gets upside down, when my work becomes idolatrous, when my work becomes my God, here's how the order is. I want to be successful in my work, so here's the kind of person I'll be. My work shapes my values, and the only thing that should shape your values, like what you treasure and how you operate in this world, is God, not your job. Here's another reason you know your work has become idolatrous. Your picture of hell changes. The worst thing in the world that you can imagine is not separation from your Savior, but failure in your career. You cannot fathom not being amazing and applauded for what you do. You know that work has become your God if that's become your hell. What's interesting is that you will hit seasons of fruitlessness and pointlessness when you're at your lowest point in your work. But you will hit seasons of selfishness and idolatry, usually when you're at your starting point in work, like when you're first starting out in your career or your job, or when you're at what you perceive to be your highest point. Like you're really reading your own press, you're smelling what you're cooking, you're thinking, man, I'm amazing. Frustrations over fruitlessness and pointlessness, they tend to come as a result of just living in a broken world. There's limitations everywhere. Conflicts abound. Whereas selfishness and idolatry in my work, they come as a result of me personally being a broken creature. Struggling with fruitlessness or pointlessness, it's usually the laborer who starts to ask the question, man, is this worth it? Am I failing? What's the point of all this? I'm just going to die anyway, right? But when you're dealing with selfishness and idolatry, it's usually someone else who notices it in you and who speaks up and says something to you. It's maybe a family member or a coworker or your spouse who says, you work way too much. Or you are obsessed with what other people think. You care more about this job than you do me. Why does a compliment about work make you happy when my words and my affection seem to do nothing? Your career has so much control over you. Any of that sound familiar? Here's what followers of Jesus are called to do. When we feel the thorns of work and labor, we are called to retreat from our work for a moment, for a day, for a season, if necessary, to retreat from our work and reorient ourselves around the promise of redemption. Retreat from our work and reorient ourselves around the promise of redemption. Now, redemption is the way Christians talk about how God is fixing all the stuff that's broken in this world. When you hear someone say redemption, that's what it means. The world is stuck in brokenness, and God is lifting it out of the brokenness. He's redeeming it. He's fixing it through Jesus Christ. So through Jesus Christ, what we believe is that through his life, his death, and his resurrection, our connection to the Creator has been fully restored. But there's more. We believe that God is working, and at the return of Jesus, we believe that Jesus is coming back. At the return of Jesus, he's going to bring about a kingdom, a fully restored world where the beauty of work remains. The beauty of work is like the joy of work, the satisfaction of work, that sense of, you ever worked in a garden on a hot summer day, and even though it was hot and it was sticky and it was nasty, the end result of what you planted made you feel just like amazing, right? Where that feeling, that sense of purpose remain, but the thorns of work in this new kingdom are all gone. And that would, I fully admit that that would be a totally ludicrous thing to believe in had Jesus not risen from the dead. First century believers in Jesus, they had a funny way of talking about the resurrection of Jesus. They called the resurrection of Jesus the first fruits. The fact that Jesus came back to life was the first evidence of a full kingdom yet to come. Imagine a world where you never have to slave away at a project only to have it fail in the end. Imagine a world where as you're laboring at your desk or in your home, you are always aware of who's being blessed by what you're doing. So you always have a sense of purpose. Imagine a world where as you work, what's driving you is never a sense of emptiness, but a sense of fullness, knowing that you are loved by the only person that really matters. Imagine a world where you're able to do what you love, but it doesn't deteriorate your body or your bones. Imagine a world where every time you put down the tool, you walk away with a smile. That is the world that Christ is bringing about. And that truth of redemption, how God has made us right with him through the work of Jesus and how he's bringing about a kingdom where the thorns of work are falling away, that truth of redemption neutralizes all the negativity of our work. It neutralizes my desire to make work my God because it tells me over and over again, no, 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 God is your God through the work of Christ. Your boss ain't your God. Your coworkers ain't your God. Your resume ain't your God. God is your God through the work of Christ. You're redeemed. Okay. And it encourages me in moments of fruitlessness. It tells me, look, God knows what it's like to be limited. God took on flesh and he walked in a broken world. He knows what it's like to have a body that's broken. He was beaten for me. He knows what it's like to do good work, but have people reject you. He was rejected for me. He knows what it's like to be in a world and to put your all out there and have people to reject the fruit that you put forward because he was rejected for me. He took on flesh in Christ to save me, and he's restoring a world where the frustration I feel in my work will be washed away. Redemption neutralizes the thorns of labor. Listen to this image from Ecclesiastes chapter 4. So our guy in Ecclesiastes who's super depressed, after he talks about all the pointlessness and selfishness in work, he has a moment of clarity. Listen to what he says. He says, better is a handful of quietness than two hands full of toil and a striving after wind. Now here's what he means. Maybe it's better for me if at times I work a little less, one hand instead of two hands, so that I can have some peace that adds perspective. It's better to have one hand full of quietness. I've got some peace. I've got some perspective in my life than two hands full of work that gives me burden. In other words, what he's saying is it's good for me to pull back from work and find some tranquility and some peace in this world. Do you have any mechanism in your life that causes you to pause and see your work rightly? Do you have any mechanism, any person, any community in your life that allows you to pull away from the thorns of work and the pains of this human existence and allows you to return to the truth and the promise of redemption of who God is and how much he loves you? Do you have something, someone in your life that reminds you that there is more than what you do with your hands in this world? Do you have someone in your life who can say things to you like, you know, those who spend all their time making money end up spend all their money making time. So be rich in the right things. Do you have anyone who can say things like that to you? Do you have someone, a place that can remind you that real peace comes through Jesus Christ and that everything that frustrates you in your work, think of the things that frustrate you in your work. Everything that frustrates you in your work is being fixed through his work. Everything. You tired of being ignored in your labor? That's being fixed through Jesus Christ. You tired of putting your best foot forward and have it kicked back to you? It's being fixed in Jesus Christ. You tired of being overlooked in your work despite being clearly gifted by God for your work? That's being fixed by Jesus Christ. Listen to the words again that he says to you. Notice, God said the curse in Genesis was that work is going to be hard. Labor was going to be hard. But now what does God's son say to you? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in my heart, and I will give you rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you have the person, the community of tranquility, of quietness that will draw you back to that truth? Why do you think Sundays are so critical? Sundays are not just about worshiping Jesus. That's a huge part of it. But a big reason we gather here as human beings is because if we don't gather here as human beings, then the thorns of our work become really, really big. And the problems in our path become really, really huge. And the obsession with myself becomes the centerpiece of my life. And what gathering here allows me to do, it allows me to break that narrative, to break that lie, and to say, no, 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 no. God is fixing the problems in my work. My work is not my God. God is my God. It is a place of tranquility and peace. And yes, you can't work while you're here, but that's the point. Because it's better to have quietness in one hand than striving and fruitlessness in two hands. My prayer is that you will discover the consolation of Jesus Christ, that you are forgiven. You are forgiven for using your work as a way to worship yourself, and that he is ushering in a kingdom where work is never frustrated and always fulfilling.
Hey, it's Matt. I hope you enjoyed What Matters Most. Here's what I need you to know. Life is a gift, and it shouldn't be wasted on worry. I want to help you figure out what's most important and to experience the peace and joy that God intends for you. So for more content, you can head to mattpopovitz.com. That's Matt, P-O-P-O-V-I-T-S.com. There you can also support this ministry, as well as access your free resource, a little something to help you navigate the road ahead. I'd also love to see you on a Sunday morning. If you're in the Houston area, head to stmarkhouston.org to plan your visit. In the meantime, hit me up on Instagram, @mpopovitz, or at facebook.com/mattpopovitzministries. Thanks for listening. Now go and hold tight to what matters most.